Hey, Doug, if Cruz and his buddy are down there, send them up, would you? I don't know where they disappeared to, but they don't need to be down there. Tell them I said, get upstairs. I want to just real quick give you an idea where I was last week. Karen and I did we were blessed with a little seminar. It was a 24-hour immersion training put on by Convoy of Hope. And Convoy of Hope is a ministry. They're coupled with the Assemblies of God. They go to disaster relief areas, you know, where there's big hurricanes, tornadoes, and those kinds of things, and floods, and they help the people there with all kinds of stuff, you know, food and clothing and water and shelter and what have you. But they also, they have what they call Convoy of Hope Rural Compassion. And what we did is we went to learn from them about how to reach our rural communities. Now, Geneva, it's hard for me to say rural, R-U-R-A-L. our community is kind of in between a rural and a big city. So it's kind of an interesting dynamic, but a lot of the principles still applied. And I have a whole manual here that I've got to go through. I've got to get in contact. You know, part of reaching out to your community is learning who's in the community, who the stakeholders are, who, you know, people of influence, and getting to know them and building relationship with them. And I've got a whole packet here that I need to fill out and get started on to help start reaching out to them. But then they filled us up with books. This is The Grasshopper Myth, Big Churches, Small Churches, and the Small Thinking That Divides Us, the Eternally Focused Church, the Church of the Irresistible Influence. I'd like to be that church, amen. And Transforming Church in Rural America. And then also, I got a lot of reading to do. And then one here called I Blame Eve. Freedom from Perfectionism, Control Issues, and the Tendency to Listen to Talking Snakes. That's an interesting, I did not read the subtitle on that until just now. And that just, wow. Knowing, oh boy. Yeah, there's a lot behind that. I don't even want to get into that because it'd take me too long. Praise the Lord. So we have some work to do, church, and it's all about what can we do as a church to reach our community, to help them and to bless them and share the gospel with them and draw them into the kingdom of God. And it's not, again, it's not just about, you know, building this particular church. It's about building the church, you know, the kingdom of God. And my prayer is that perhaps God will use us in such a way that he would be glorified and that his kingdom would grow in this region. And so we're going to be doing a lot of things. We have a stack of stuff downstairs. They sent us home with the back of a pickup truck just full of stuff to hand out and give to the community. You know, just a little starter kit, you know, to kind of inspire us to reach out and to help some. And how many know that the gospel is more than just telling somebody they need Jesus? The gospel is also about coming alongside people that are in need and helping them and providing for them and doing things that are beneficial for not just their spiritual well-being, but also their physical and emotional and mental well-being and all those things. Amen. What good is it if we tell everybody in the city that they need Jesus, but we have some of them starving because they have no food, right? And so anyway, we'll be working on that in the coming months. I've been preaching through what I've called the Master Key for a while now, and we're still on on Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses for me. I've been waiting for this power verse. I want to talk about the power. It says here, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come on you, and you shall be witnesses of me. You shall receive power. Somebody say, I shall. I shall receive power. It doesn't say that you might receive power. It says you shall receive power. Anybody want power from the Holy Ghost? I do. You shall receive power. Now, to get the power, we must first have the Holy Ghost come upon us. So, okay, there's a step involved. Unfortunately, I know far too many people that they want all the power, but they don't want to have anything to do with God. They don't want to have anything to do with the Holy Spirit coming on them. Right? Well, there's a step that must come first before I'm getting there. Before I talk about the power, we need to talk about how do we get the Holy Ghost to come upon us. Look at Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 13. I'm reading from a New King James Bible. If your Bible doesn't read exactly as mine, I'm sure it'll say something so close that it'll make sense to you. All of you NIV readers and King James only people and all those New Living Translation, all those, they're all good. But in Luke chapter 11, verse 9, it says, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And so here we are. We want the power, but we first have to have the Holy Spirit come on us. And so, understanding this, the first thing we must do is ask. "Lord, I want more of you. Lord, I want your Spirit in me. God, I want the Holy Spirit to come upon me." Ask and you shall receive. Your desire for more of God will be the catalyst for the Holy Spirit to come on you. You understand that? If you have no desire for God, guess what? You're not getting His Spirit. And so we need to have a desire and a hunger for God. The Bible says in Psalms 42:1, "As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you." And in Psalm 84:2, it says, "My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." Do you have a hunger for more of God? If not, let me encourage you. There is nothing in this world that compares to the love and the mercy and the grace that God bestows upon us. If you get just a taste, the Bible says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." If you get just a taste, it should cause you to want more. This afternoon, perhaps you're going to taste some things that, as we eat dinner. Hopefully some of those things are going to taste good and you're going to want more of it. If not, just be kind and pretend it's all right. You don't want to offend anybody. How many have ever gone to a church? That's right, unless the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Yeah, there's a whole story there. But how many have ever gone to a church dinner and had something and was like, "Oh boy, you guys are so kind you won't even admit that." There's only good food here today, I'm sure of it. But you're going to hunger for more of it later. My wife makes this, oh wow, she makes stuff that I hunger for a lot. Good cook. Blesses me. But nothing compares. Nothing on earth. That dinner that we're about to eat in a little while doesn't even come close to the fulfillment we get in God. And so we hunger for Him. Psalm 107:9, "For He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness." In Matthew 5:6, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." If you want the Holy Ghost to come upon you, ask. And if you don't think you want Him, and you're like, in your mind you're saying, "Oh, you know, I don't even know what that pastor's talking about," then ask. Say, "God, I want to know what He's talking about. I want to experience You in a way that is so powerful that my life changes." Just ask. Now, be sure to ask. Be sure that you desire the power of the Holy Ghost for the purpose of lifting up Jesus Christ. You see, there is a purpose in the Holy Ghost coming on you and His power being manifested in you. And if we do it, if we ask God for his power, if we ask God for his spirit for any other reason, then we fall into this category, James chapter 4, verse 3, you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lusts. There was a man in the Bible, his name was Simon. He was a sorcerer. And he got saved and he started following around the disciples. And when he saw the disciples lay hands on people and pray and the Holy Ghost fell upon the people that were prayed for, Simon said, "Oh, I want that power. Here, let me give you some money so that I can buy that power from you." And perhaps the reason why he wanted that power is because he had lost what he was one of those influential people in the city who, as a sorcerer, had power, and people were following him. But once the disciples came, the people stopped following him, and they started following disciples. Perhaps Simon just wanted the people to follow him again. And the disciples rebuked him, "You can't buy this stuff. You've got to have a hunger for God. You've got to have God's purposes in mind. Always keep in mind that the Holy Spirit coming upon us is all for the glory of Jesus. It glorifies Jesus Christ when the church is endued with power, when his Holy Spirit comes upon the church, on his people. It glorifies Jesus. Now, Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is upon you, and you shall be witnesses for me." Now again, it says, "You shall be witnesses for me." Those of you who have the Holy Ghost upon you, say this after me. I shall be a witness for Jesus Christ. John 15, 26, "When the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, has come, he whom I will send you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me." What's the purpose of the Holy Spirit? To testify of Jesus Christ. I've been in far too many situations and far too many church services and supposed revival meetings and all this where supposedly the Holy Spirit fell on everyone and it was just a grand, wonderful time and people are falling on the floor because of his presence and people are speaking in tongues and people are doing all this awesome stuff, but then when they go home, there's no more lifting of Jesus Christ. What's it all about? It's all about him. And so we ask that God will send his Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will come upon us. But we need to keep in mind the purpose of it is to lift up Jesus Christ. Now, those who are saved have an understanding. You know what? This is wonderful. I want to tell people about Jesus. And you know, we sometimes try. How many have got to that place where you knew God wanted you to tell somebody about Jesus and you didn't say a word? Right? And then you go home and it's like, man, I had an opportunity and I didn't use it. But when you're flowing in the power of the Holy Ghost, it's hard to keep your mouth shut. Because you have such a desire to lift up Jesus Christ, and his power and his boldness comes in, and you just tell everybody. My wife and I went to a movie a few weeks ago. What was the name of that movie? Woodlawn. It's a new movie about high school that back in the, when was it in the 70s when integration was taking place. And just big race wars and all this stuff. And these two high school teams end up, the one high school team, you know, it starts incorporating some of the black players, and God just does this awesome move in the place. Well, anyway, it was just a really great story about the power of God. In that particular story, to this day, they hold a record attendance for a high school football game of over 40,000 people. They sent 20,000 people away because the stadium they had it in was too small to hold them all. All because the power of the Holy Spirit fell on that team. Actually, on both teams by the time it was all said and done. And when we got done with that movie, I got up and I'm like, I couldn't leave the place. I ran down to the front and I looked up at everybody that was still standing there, and I'm like, are you all believers? I was compelled by the Holy Spirit. I couldn't leave without doing something. And they're all like, yeah, we're believers. And I'm like, all right, let's pray for this area. And so I stood there and led all these people in prayer. When the power of the Holy Spirit is on, you can't keep your mouth shut. I knew that if I had left that place without saying something, I'd have regretted that. I would have been, oh, I missed an opportunity. And that's the way we need His Holy Spirit in us to have the power to be able to. I mean, I don't know. We're in Buffalo. I don't know any. What, to just go up and just say, hey, are you guys believers? Call them right out. When the Holy Spirit comes on us, we receive the power to witness for Jesus. Now, I want to talk about the power. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. I've already made this point. You shall. Power is guaranteed after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. It's guaranteed. You shall receive power. The exciting part about the power is what the purpose of the power implies to our lives. Let me say it again. The exciting part about the power is what the purpose of the power implies about our lives. You see, we have been given this promise. After the Holy Ghost comes on you, you're going to receive power to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. There's a designed purpose for the power of the Spirit in our lives. And the purpose of the power is to be a witness of Jesus. Now, let me show you something here. You can't be a good witness for Jesus if you don't have the power within you to do and say the things that glorify Him. Right? How many of you heard somebody talk about Jesus and then you saw him getting drunk the next night? I've seen that. What kind of a witness is that? It's not good. Right? And so, therefore, the power from the Holy Ghost will help you overcome the sin in your life. How many have experienced that? You understand that's what happens? When the Holy Spirit comes into your life, He wants you to be a witness for Jesus. So He has to give you the power to be a witness for Jesus. Therefore, what that implies is that the sin in our lives has to go. It has to go. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Starting verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Again, whenever I see those, I've said this 100 times, but if you've never heard this before, highlight that where it says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Highlight it, circle it, understand that this is God's will for your life. I have far too many people say, I don't know what God's will for my life is. Well, His life is this, that you give thanks, you rejoice always, you pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. We could use a lot more of that in today's world, couldn't we? Verse 19, do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecy. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who called you is faithful, who also will do it. Look at those verses, 23 and 24. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. What does sanctify mean? I should have looked it up, but I didn't get the definition for you. But it basically means He's going to clean you up. He's going to make you holy. May the God of peace sanctify you. God does it to you. You can't do it to yourself. If you could, you would have. You need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life to become sanctified. And I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody say, I'm blameless. Thank you, Jesus. Where does that come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. Until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, faithful is he who called you, who also will do it. He will do it in you. He will give you the power to overcome your sin, that you can be blameless on the day that the Lord shows up. That's power. Do you realize how much power it is for you to be cleansed from your sin? Wow. I know I tried to clean myself up. Before I came to the Lord, I tried to stop doing things that I wasn't supposed to be doing. I couldn't do it. I failed miserably. But when I came to know Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit came upon me, that's when my life changed. Because he did it. He gives you the power. All I did was hunger and thirst for him. And I asked him to come into my life. And when he did, my life changed. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes on you to be witness for him. Where am I? Okay. Many in the church want the power from the Holy Ghost in order to do signs and wonders and miracles, right? Would that be a true statement? Many in the church want God's power so that they can do signs and wonders and miracles. But unfortunately, many of us neglect to understand the significance of using the power for living pure and holy lives. We need to use God's power for more than just signs and wonders and miracles. If there's signs and wonders and miracles going around you, that's him doing it anyway. That's not you. It's his power flowing through you. But more importantly, I believe that God would want us to understand the significance of using his power in our lives to live holy. Matthew 7, 22 through 23, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name have cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work what? Iniquity. In other words, you who didn't use the power that I gave you to live right, you may have done all these things, but I never knew you. What's the purpose of his power? To testify of Jesus Christ. Therefore, workers of iniquity, you better do something about that. You better ask God to come in and cleanse you. You better ask God to come in and make you holy. Hebrews 12:14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Who wants to see the Lord? I do. That means I got to have holiness in my life. How do I get holiness? Only through the power of the Holy Spirit. Only when the Holy Spirit comes upon me and his power is manifest in me to cleanse me of my sin and keep me pure. In Celebrate Recovery, we put it like this. By the way, those of you who have yet to take part in Celebrate Recovery, and by the way, I want to throw a little plug out there. I talked about reaching out to our community and meeting needs. One of the needs that we have with Celebrate Recovery is transportation. We have several people that would come, but they can't get here. And I just can't go get everybody and take everybody home. And so if you have a vehicle and you would like to make that a part of just your mission and make yourself available and be accountable and go and pick up people and take people home after that meeting, or even church for that matter, if you would like to take that up as a service to the community and a service to your Lord and Savior, please let me know, because we'll put you in contact with people that need rides. But anyway, in Celebrate Recovery, we put it like this. Principle 2 says, earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to him, and that he has the power to help me recover. What's that saying? What is recovery? Recovery is about getting the bad things in our life taken out and putting good things in. It's about getting our hearts right with God and living in a way that pleases him. How do we do that? He has the power, understanding it comes from God. The second step in the recovery programs is we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. A power greater than ourselves. What is that? It's the Holy Spirit coming on us and His power being manifest in us to purify us and cleanse us and make us holy and restore us to sanity. Because we keep doing the same thing over and over and again, and according to Einstein, that's insane. Because we think we're going to get something different out of it. No, you're not. When you turn to Jesus Christ and you ask Him for His Holy Spirit to come upon you, that's when things change. That's when you get the power that makes a difference. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God which works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure." It's God who does it. It's God who puts that power in there. And we need to use it to glorify Him. And when we have our lives changed, that's when we are able to say, "Hey, let me tell you about Jesus Christ and what He did for me." And He'll do the same for you. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes on you. Recovery is about gaining the power from the Holy Spirit to help us stop our destructive ways and start living life according to the will and the ways of God. That's what it's all about. I know there's secular programs out there, recovery programs, and some of them are fairly, you know, successful. But they'll allow you to use anything as a higher power. Let me tell you something. The only higher power that has the real power to change your life is God through His Holy Spirit working in your life. The part about Meredith's testimony this morning that I like so much isn't just that she got her license back to be a nurse, something that she desperately longed for and prayed for and didn't think would ever happen, but the fact that she is no longer an addict. Amen? Why is she no longer an addict? Because she came and she asked Jesus to help her. And He's made a change that now, even this panel, whoever these people were, recognize, you know what? She's not the person she was a year ago. Here's your license back. God bless you. Have a nice day. Do what God has called you to do. Through the power that comes on you and the Holy Ghost has been put on you. God, after the Holy Ghost is upon you, will give you the power to overcome your sin nature in order that you can boldly lift His name up and be a witness of His love and His grace. Boldly lift His name up. Look at what Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says. You shall receive power. You shall be witnesses for me. In verse 4, chapter 4, verse 31, the disciples had been put in jail for preaching. And they get out, and what do? They go back to preaching. And it says in verse 31 of Acts chapter 4, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Why? Because the Holy Ghost gives you the power to do that. Acts chapter 4, verse 33, two verses later, great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Who wants the power of God? I do. Next week, perhaps, we'll talk about the manifestation of the power, which is the spiritual gifts being brought forth through you. But today, what I really wanted to focus on was the power given by the Holy Spirit for you to live right. I'm more concerned about living right. At this, you know, at first, I'm more concerned about living right before I am about telling anybody about Jesus. Because if I'm not able to live right, how can I tell people that, hey, my sins are forgiven? Oh, really? Because you just keep doing it. Yeah, but they're forgiven. Well, you know what? There's a lot of grace in God. But I'm pretty sure that He wants us to stop the sin. And so I need His Holy Spirit working in me in order to do that. And so that's the part of the power that I was excited about getting to today. If you have never, stand with me this morning. And my guitar died, and so I don't know what's going on there. And so, Kaylee, could you come up and just play something soft? We're going to eat. Is the food ready? Not quite? Oh, good. We got time to pray. We always got time to pray. There's been times when we had dinners here and the food was ready and everybody's hungry and chomping at the bit and it's like, oh my gosh, would he stop talking? I want to eat. Amen. Who wants the power in your life to live right? Who wants the Holy Ghost to come upon you in order to give you that power? If you've never asked God to fill you with His Spirit, if you've never asked Him to allow the Holy Ghost to come upon you and you'd like to today, then I'm going to ask you just to come up and we're going to pray for you. Just right here. I'll never forget the day when I decided to follow Jesus Christ. And I am so grateful for the day when He filled me with His Spirit. It was a separate occasion. I got saved. I accepted Jesus on Christmas Day, 1983. Ran to the altar. A few weeks before that, I didn't run to the altar. I should have got saved before that. My wife's like, I can't believe I didn't get saved that day, but I just wanted to be sure. I didn't want to make a foolish decision. I didn't want to jump into something I wasn't 100% sure. I ran to the altar on Christmas Day, and a brother shared scripture with me and led me to the Lord. But then it was a month or two later when I learned more about this Holy Spirit thing. And then I asked for prayer. I remember sitting at the altar with people all around me praying for the Holy Spirit to come on me. And that night my life changed again. And so I'm just going to give you one more opportunity. If you would like to ask God to pour His Spirit on you, just come forward. If not, I'm going to assume that maybe you're like me. Not so sure. Or perhaps that His Spirit is upon you. Oh, what you got there, brother?
I got Here,
use this.
Bump.
Here, use this.
And a bone.
Brother, use this. Put it right up here, mom.
He had a testimony in a movie. I thought it that the whole congregation shared. And also, this is Pastor Bunt. There's a treasure chest. That, you know, let's fill it up. God bless.
I like when the Holy Ghost comes upon Paul. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we are thankful for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We're so grateful that You have sent Him to take upon Him our sin and to pay our death penalty. And God, we accept Him as our Savior today. And we ask, Lord, that You will pour out Your Spirit upon us. That we would have the power within us from You not to go back and put them back on that cross by continuing to sin. Father, I thank You for forgiveness. And if there's any here this morning that has any unrepented sin, God, that You forgive them of that sin. But today I pray that Your Spirit will fill them and give them power over that sin nature that so drags us down and keeps us separate from you. Lord, come and fill us, each and every one. Even those that perhaps are unsure or even what I'm talking about this morning. Lord, pour your Spirit upon all flesh, that the name of Jesus Christ will be lifted up, not just with our lips, but also with our deeds. Give us the power to be witnesses for Jesus Christ through the outpouring of your Spirit in our lives today. I'm not going to make you move, but if you know that I'm talking to you, if you know that you need to receive God's Spirit into your life in order to gain the power of the Holy Spirit to be a good witness for Jesus Christ, just right where you're at, just say, Lord, please come in and fill me today. It's that simple. There's nothing magical about it. Lord, please come in and fill me today. Because I want to glorify my God and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for coming today.